You're talking about during the practice.
Yeah, well, we had to practice getting it in close, because the closer you got the airplanes, the safer you were. They put all of our guns, there were 13 50 caliber guns on each airplane. When you had 36 airplanes, there were a lot of lead out there. Trouble was, a lot of times these gunners, particularly the ones who had just come over from the United States, flying their first missions or so, were not very careful of where the bullets went. And a lot of times you'd get shot up by your own guys. But the colonel would sit out there and say, get it in there, get it in there. What he was teaching us was to be able to go down the bomb run so that all of us would be real close together, and that would make a good bomb pattern on when the bombs went out. The pattern on the ground, the target, would be covered properly. There are a lot of stories about where we'd go through all the problems of getting ready and all everything it took to make a formation, and then you wouldn't even hit your target. That was really bad. I always hated that, because here you did your job and it didn't come out very well.
How often did you practice in between doing these missions?
Anytime the weather was good, you were flying combat practice missions. They had to have something for us to do, because otherwise they're just laying around there doing nothing. I was asked to be a mail sensor, and I had to go down to headquarters, and they would tell me what I was supposed to cut out of the letters. There was not anybody that I knew of, when I read all their mail, told stuff that they shouldn't have told. But I had to feel like that I had to cut out something, so I'd cut out a bunch of junk. And my upper turret gunner, you weren't supposed to write home anything about what you were actually doing, like formation flying or the actual missions, of course. Upper turret gunner, Wally Barnes, and he wrote home to his dad every time there was a mission he went on. Now, we all didn't go together every time. We went together, I expect, maybe 12 to 15 times as a crew. Other missions that we had, some crews would be missing. Somebody went to hospital or having a bad cold. You couldn't fly when you had a cold because of your ears. So
Wally would write these detailed letters.
Oh, yeah. He would write all these detailed letters, and I let those all go through. I just let them go. I just look at Wally. If it was signed by Wally, well, I just let seal it up and let her go. He sent them to his dad, and they were detailed.
And his father kept them.
His father kept the letters, and 47 years later, when he died, Wally went back and went up in the attic and found these letters. And they are absolutely great. From each one of those letters, you could write a whole book. The background is all there. When I was the censor, I just let it go.
So then, did you also do that for other people in your crew, or just
for him? Oh, yeah. I mean, for other crews. I mean, I was the mail censor for 36 bombers.
You tried to just take out the junk when it was somebody you knew and you were friends with, but
right.
For everyone else, you took out all that stuff.
I took out the stuff that was not supposed to be in there. Of course, I had to do my job. They swore you in, you know, down headquarters, that if you were a mail censor, you were censoring information.
Did they give you lists of stuff that this can't be in there, or did they just say generally anything about...
Generally, anything.
Would you just cross it out with a marker, or you cut it out?
I had an X-Acto knife. I think that's where the first X-Acto knives came from. Because everybody, I'd be sitting around the table with my stack of stuff, my mail, and somebody else across the table, he'd be cutting his out.
And did you share with each other what I just read, or would you
No, you couldn't do that. You were a censor. We'd get up so early, 3 o'clock in the morning, most every day. If you got 6 hours sleep, you were doing pretty good.
You never were idle. So if you were a mail sender, the next guy had another job.
He had another job, right. There was somebody doing something every place.
Now, we talked about last time, at the end of the war, you had given all these tours, you were giving people plane rides. But what we didn't talk about was, how did you actually get home after the war? How did you fly over? Did you take a boat?
I came home on a boat. I was supposed to. I had 35 guys to bring back and take them down to St. Louis. Anyway, I had 35 guys I was supposed to get down there. And I had a real good sergeant. He took care of all the paperwork. And I was sent with these guys. We were sent to a little town of Boston, England, on the west coast of England. Liverpool was just about 5 miles away. And every morning I would go out and look around, and I found an old B-17 that was beat up, been shot up many times, and it had a gob of hours on it. But boy, did it fly great. It was just, all the bugs had been worked out of it. You just got in it and pushed the button and the thing just wanted to go. And that's when I boarded up the bomb bay and got it ready. But then I couldn't find a co-pilot. Every time I'd get somebody that was ready to go home, some pilot to go home, I'd take him down and show him the airplane. He wasn't going to go in that thing. No, I'm not going to go in that thing. So I was stuck. And so about a week and a half of every morning going down and apologizing to these 35 guys, I'd get out of the barracks and go down to, we'd have our meeting. And I had to apologize. I don't have a way to get you home. So one morning, I went into town, and I thought, well, I'll just go over to it's where they park boats, and I found a Liberty ship that was taking paper war, all the paper of tons and tons of paper home to the United States. So I went up, and the captain was a major, an Army major, not a Navy guy at all. And he was the captain of the ship. And I asked him, I said, I've got 35 guys. I've got to get to New York. And he said, I don't have it. He doesn't have any supplies, nothing. He said, but there are plenty of places to sleep on top of these piles of paper. That's all he had was paper in that thing. So I got my sergeant, and he got enough K rations. He got enough water, tanks of water. And I went down then the next morning and told the guys, I said, well, I found a way to get home. Do you want to ride home on that thing? Heck yes, let's go on that. Let's go. So the following morning, about 5 o'clock, we all traipsed down there and went up the gangplank on this old Liberty ship. I have no idea what the name of it was. They had thousands of them. As we were going up the gangplank, another lieutenant, and he had 35 guys too. And I said to him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to St. Louis. I said, I am too. So his name was Harvey Ryder. Lieutenant Harvey Ryder. And so we got on the thing, and walking down one of the alleyways or whatever they call the thing in the ship,